Good afternoon, this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair once again for our weekly muster together. And I did indeed cut Susan off. She was doing a pre-recorded broadcast and got a little bit over into my time. And since I know that Captain Joe's people, many of you listen, tune in no matter where you are in the world. And so it is to me right now to send my greetings to all of Captain Joe's people, wherever you are in the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of whose capital is Stockholm. On the other side of the world, all of the ships and aircraft and stations in between that are all about doing their Father's business. On the binnacle list, the binnacle list has not treated your captain well during the last week. Not me personally, but several people who are close to me, either because they are Captain Joe's people somewhere in the world, or even closer in that they may be related to me either by blood or marriage or friends of family rank. And so, as I do every week, I remind everybody that the way off of the binnacle list is to follow the instructions of your particular medical practitioners, your medical team, and that way you will leave the binnacle list in the way which is the way we want for all of us to return to full duty. So, Peter, I know that you've been in contact with the Coast Guard Channel. And Shelley, so close to me personally, and all of the other people who are, as always, in the palm of your captain's hand, as it is my wish and my hope and my command that you do what you're supposed to do to leave the binnacle list in the proper and approved fashion. I'm taking a little bit of my time today to be thankful and grateful. I am thankful and grateful for so many things. I am the most fortunate of men. And one of those things is the voice of Vashon and from the captain's chair. It is because of the voice of Vashon that I am able to speak to you every week. And in turn, you come back to me. So one of the things for which I am very grateful are the comments that come to me through either my email, which is Captain Joe, all one word, CaptainJoe@CenturyTel.net. You can send me signals there about things that you want to comment on the broadcast or about things you would rather that I talk about some more, or you can rag on me a little bit about my electronic ineptitude, as happened last week with the wonderful program that we did with Dee and her living out on New Dungeness Light Station. I thank you for all of the comments that you send me, also that come through the Andy phone. These are really important to me because they validate the value of what we're doing. And in particular, when I get one that says, as I do every now and then from my island, some from island people in particular, who say, Captain Joe, we always come away from your broadcast having felt that you fulfilled your mission, which is to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and the world in which we live. And that is, in fact, my mission. The other thing for which I'm thankful and grateful are the financial support. I know that when it is time for me to put out the call for a little bit of financial help, that Captain Joe's people are the ones who respond. I know also that it is Captain Joe's people who listen to this broadcast and who tell through your comments on the Voice of Vashon website that you listen and that it takes an important part of your particular day. And for all of those things also am I grateful. You all make me feel as if I am once again back in command. And since I spent a good part of my working life as the commanding officer of Coast Guard cutters and of a large shore command up in the Great Lakes, the feelings that go with that. So here's one just little command story. And it's also why this program is called From the Captain's Chair. Every one of my six cutters had a captain's chair, even the smallest, my very first command when I was 23. It was a small Coast Guard patrol cutter out of San Diego. I was the only officer, and I had two chief petty officers. And on the bridge was a little cabinet right across from the radar set. For those of you who go back a long, long way, that was a CR-103 radar set. And across from that was a little cabinet, and it was just the right height for me to hike my ample butt up onto the top of that, and that was my captain's chair. I mean, when we would be on long SAR cases where we had a long way to go to get to the site of the people being rescued, one of those trips was all the way down to Scammon's Lagoon in Baja, and in fact, we made that transit in the middle of the annual migration of the California gray whales headed to Scammon's Lagoon. When we were on these long transits, I would sit up on that bench, and Chief Alexander, the chief boatswain's mate, who was my XO, my first XO, out of a long catalog of XOs, would take the helm himself, and Chief Ed Flynn, the chief engineer, would sit down on the little step that would lead down into the CIC. Yes, that little ship had a combat information center. She had a full ASW, anti-submarine warfare suite. And Chief Flynn would sit on that little step, and they would tell stories of their long service in the Coast Guard. And, of course, my service was as nothing. I had no stories to contribute, but I absorbed it all. And then each ship after that had a captain's chair, and no one but the captain sits in that chair. In my Northwind, my icebreaker, one of the great pleasures and privileges of command would be that I would get up in the beginning of the morning watch when the navigator would come up to take morning stars to get the morning fix, star fix, and I would sit up in the chair, and the smell of bread being freshly baked would rise up from the galley and come all the way up to the bridge. And I would sit up there and I would absorb that smell. And as the life of the ship started to come together, the brass would be polished. I tried to keep a quiet bridge, but I often violated that myself because there was just always so much to talk about. The officer of the deck would be out on the bridge wing, and the custom was that the officer of the deck would take the bridge wing, which was not being used by the captain, if he decided to get out of the chair and go out onto the bridge wing. So the officer of the deck would be out, the lookouts would be posted, and the ship would come alive. And that coming alive was a source of great satisfaction to me. It is equally of a great source of great satisfaction to me to be up in the captain's chair with you each week, that you allow me to be once again Captain Joe to all of Captain Joe's people. For indeed, I am the most fortunate of men. My magazine this week is the VFW magazine. VFW stands, of course, for the Veterans of Foreign Wars, of which I am a life member. And in the VFW magazine are a couple of articles that I have taken out because they are both important and timely. And one of them, the first one that the headline for it is that the Veterans Administration, or now we call it the Department of Veterans Affairs, provides opioid addiction assistance. I don't know if I've mentioned it on here, but I have joined the board of the Washington Poison Center. I'm a board member with the Washington Poison Center, of whom the spokesman, of course, is Mr. Yuck. I am a supporter of Mr. Yuck. And one of the things that we talk about and one of the things that we do some publicity about is opioid addiction and how to handle it and how the people who call into the Washington Poison Center are always being concerned about all of the different kinds of toxic and poisonous substances that, in particular, children can ingest. So now the secondary headline for this particular one from this month's VFW magazine is veterans who have been overprescribed opioids can get immediate and long-term assistance through the VA. And the article goes on to tell you about how you do it. But you need only to go on to a VA website, and it will take you right to the part of that which has something to do with opioids and overindulgence in opioid substances. The second one is that the VA breast cancer screening bills have been signed into law. This one kind of, it more than just kind of surprised me that there had to be a separate piece of legislation to allow and authorize the VA to provide mammogram services for veterans, both male and female. But that is indeed the case. I was indoctrinated in this because Mary R. was, her professional calling was that she was a radiological technician, technologist was the correct term, I believe. And she was by specialty a mammographer. And in particular, she specialized in those ladies who may have been somewhat sparse in the top hamper. I think you can all figure that one out. And we had an expression, which is, I believe one of the words is on the list of words that I cannot use, but I think you get the idea. And she was such an ardent advocate of this, and yet we know that mammograms do not catch every breast cancer. And so I am taking from from Mary R. is speaking to me right this very minute, and she's saying, Joseph, that's what she called me when she had important things to impart. Joseph, remind everybody of Captain Joe's people that it is essential that the manual checks be carried out as frequently as is prescribed by your particular medical practitioner. So that was the second thing that came from the VFW magazine. And the third thing is that September is Suicide Prevention Month. I'm always a little bit gobsmacked at the idea that we have to have several special months, such as Kitty Litter Allergy Month. Actually, you only get a week for Kitty Litter Allergy Month, a week. But in any case, the whole idea that we have to have a special month to remind everybody of these most important things, I have had only in my own personal life, I've only had two cases of people who took their own lives, and these were with people with whom I am related by by family, rank, friendship. That doesn't make it any the less difficult with which to deal and be concerned. It must be, and in fact, I know that it is because I have talked to these people, how difficult, what a terrible tragedy, and how the sadness and the guilt that comes over people who must deal with this directly. There are signs, and there are hotlines, and in particular for veterans, are there hotlines. If you go on to the Coast Guard channel, or if you go on to, once again, any VA website, it will link you to the telephone hotlines where you can get either some help yourself if you are having thoughts about doing, about taking your own life, or of the signs and signals that you should be aware of with people around you who are dealing with, in particular, life-threatening depressions. The last thing that came out of this most recent issue of the VFW magazine was a short article about the accession to the being the commandant of the Coast Guard and being the first woman to lead any of our military services, Admiral Fagan, and a description of what her particular priorities are. And it warms the cockles of this old sea captain's black heart to report that her priorities are firstly in taking care of the people that have been entrusted to her care as our commandant. I repeat again here, my own, one of my guiding lighthouses through my entire, in particular, command career was that there are two things that a commander must do. One of them is to accomplish the mission. The second one is to take care of the people that have been entrusted to him or her to carry out the mission. And neither of those are mutually inclusive. They both of them must happen at exactly the same time. And they are not mutually exclusive. And I'm delighted that Admiral Fagan is making a clear policy declaration that this is the way that she is going to handle the 4 years of her time in command of the Coast Guard. So that's my magazine for this week. If you are entitled to be a member of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, you have to have served, of course, overseas. And the whole business of eligibility for the VFW is, again, you can go to the VFW website, and if you believe that you are eligible, I urge you to consider membership. And I also urge you to, if you are not eligible for VFW membership, you, if you have taken the same oath that I did and you have served honorably, you are eligible to belong to the American Legion. And I urge those people to possibly have dual membership. So the not too long ago, in fact, on the 4th of August, which is the Coast Guard's birthday, we had the Coast Guard Festival in Grand Haven, Michigan. I am an honorary citizen of the Tri-Cities, which are around Grand Haven. Those Tri-Cities are Grand Haven, Spring Lake, and Ferrisburg, as am I an honorary citizen of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I wonder where the signs are that have the lists of all of the honorary citizens. In any case, next year I'm planning a trip to, in the early summer, late spring, early summer, I'm planning a trip to Sault Ste. Marie and to revisit some places that were part of my command when I was the commander there, and to find out whether or not there are any privileges which are attached to being an honorary citizen in the great city of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I have two public service announcements. They are actually private service announcements. They are self-serving public announcements. The first one is that on this coming Thursday, which is the 8th of September, at 7 o'clock, 1900 hours Pacific time. You add to it or subtract from that your particular time zone to get to your time. I am doing what is called a webinar. Now, I'm not sure what the definition of a webinar is. What's going to happen is that we're going to do by Zoom a program about Point Robinson Light Station. And you get to this by going to the I'm looking for my note that has the actual, here we go. Vashon, this is all one word, VashonHeritageMuseum.org. VashonHeritageMuseum.org. Go to that site, and there will be a link there to the program that I am doing with Dr. Bruce Hallman and with Elsa, the executive director for the Heritage Museum, and for Chris, who is going to be doing the producing of the program. And we're going to be talking about Point Robinson Light, its history, the way it is today, and the way that your captain sees that it is going to be continue to be used into the future. So that one, again, now that you all have scurried around to get your pencil and papers, Vashon Heritage Museum, all one word, .org. Look for the link to the 8th September at 1900 Pacific time program that I am going to be doing, and Dr. Bruce Hallman, the island historian, is going to be on with me to talk about this. We're going to have a good time with it. And for island people in particular, should you be so moved, the opportunity will be there for you to make a donation to the work that Elsa so skillfully leads. The second announcement is to remind everybody that the Glacier Muster, the Glacier Reunion, the Coast Guard Cutter Glacier, the Icebreaker Glacier, is coming up. It is on the 16th through the 18th of September. It is in the city of Seattle. And I will be there. I'm moving the captain's chair over from the magical Isle of Vashon over to the hotel. And again, there is a website for it if you just type in Glacier Reunion. And I just had a signal today from Dr. Bob Bunis. And Dr. Bob is the one who wrote the book called Wind, Fire, and Ice. It is the story of his deployment with Glacier to the Antarctic, and I've talked about the book here. I made it my book at least one time, and Dr. Bob is going to be there. He's going to talk about his particular deployment in Glacier, and I suspect, but do not know for sure, that he may have one or two copies of the book that he would be willing to part with for whatever the price of the book is, and that he would sign and write in it. I have an inscribed copy, and books which have been given to me by the authors and inscribed by them are always my particular treasures. I had a couple of wonderful visitors at Point Robinson on Sunday, and in particular some children. But I also had a telephone call yesterday from a family that is staying in one of the quarters. You can indeed stay in the quarters out at Point Robinson. We rent them out as vacation rentals. And this particular call, she reminded me that her father, who is a Coast Guard auxiliarist, would like to go to the lighthouse. And they were only able to do it today, and they were only able to do it during the time that I'm broadcasting. So I reluctantly had to tell this lovely lady that I was not able to do it. But I take this opportunity to mention the Coast Guard Auxiliary. Before I became involved with Point Robinson, the Coast Guard Auxiliary Flotilla here was doing the tours out at the lighthouse. In the larger sense, the Coast Guard Auxiliary has been with the Coast Guard for ever since World War II. Then they perform wonderful, wonderful services, in particular in the areas of boating safety. So here is my request that if you own a boat and you have not yet had it inspected by the Coast Guard Auxiliary, find your Coast Guard Auxiliary flotilla and get together with them and ask them to inspect your boat and give you one of the decals that goes with that. That inspection will disclose any deficiencies that you might have in the equipment that's required by whichever state jurisdiction you happen to be in. There are basic and minimum Coast Guard requirements that have to do with such things as life jackets, which at one point were called PFDs, personal flotation devices. That's really a life, that's a life jacket, my dear ones. And so the get together with the flotilla. Again, you can type in Coast Guard flotilla, and then for whatever area you happen to be, Coast Guard Auxiliary Flotilla, and get together with them and ask them to come and inspect your boat and talk to you about boating safety. The in the United Kingdom, of my one of my second homes, and certainly Cambridge, my intellectual home for the rest of my life, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson was forced out. And his replacement is a lady, and this is the third lady prime minister that we've had, Margaret Thatcher. And then after that was, her name escapes me at this point. How could that have happened? And now third one, you can look it up for yourself. But go on to YouTube and check and type in UK Prime Minister. This gal has got a full dance card if there ever was one. And she is being handed from the ever entertaining but not always the most professional Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who also was the Lord Mayor of London some years back. It is he who established the checkpoints where you had to drive through these checkpoints to drive into the City of London, and you had to pay an extra fee to, I don't know whether those are still in place. I'll find out for you because I'm going to London later this month with my son and my daughter-in-law, and we're going to we're also going to go to Cambridge. The clock is telling me that it is 1300. It is time then for your Captain Joe to say yet once again, as I always must, that I am up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and we'll meet again right here from the captain's chair a week from today in the Gene Bosch studio on Voice of Bash on 101.9. And streaming live all over the world on voiceofbashan.org.